If you would get your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 19, we'll start in verse 11. Now, as they heard these things, which these things were what Jesus was saying to Zacchaeus, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Okay, so they had not come to Jerusalem yet, so either they were still in Jericho, which Jericho is 18 miles away, so that could be stated as near, or maybe they had traveled and already left Zacchaeus, which, who knows, Zacchaeus very likely came with them. That's what I expect. He's probably following Jesus now. And I really expect that Zacchaeus was one of the 3,000 that were baptized on the day of Pentecost. It would very much surprise me if he was not. Because here, right at Jesus' sacrifice, here he is. He realizes that Jesus is the Messiah. He was just hoping to get to see Jesus. And I'm confident, well, see, with the Jewish system and the Pharisaical system, they did not allow any participation of tax collectors in their Jewish system. And that's why in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, the tax collector was away. He was in the courtyard. He was not in the inner sanctum because they did not allow it. And so I'm very confident that Zacchaeus was shocked that the Messiah would give him any attention at all. And he even came and stayed at his house. Okay. So he taught this parable because the Israelites thought that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. And it wasn't going to appear immediately. It wasn't going to come for 2 months on the day of Pentecost. So, therefore, Jesus said to them, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas." So each servant got the same amount. That's a contrast from the parable of the talents. One got 10, one got 5, one got 1. Here, all 10 of the servants are on an equal playing field and get the same amount of 10 minas. So that's why I like the analogy. I think it's most appropriate that this is the New Testament that was given to each member of God's kingdom. In fact, all of humanity. But no one has an advantage of any sort. And so he told these 10 servants, "Do business until I come back." But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And Kaufman has that, Lord willing, I'll read next week, that this actually happened in real life before this. That's why Jesus said it this way, is whenever King Herod the Great died, it was Herod Archelaus that wanted to reign over all of Judea like his dad, one of the sons. And the Jews sent a delegation to Rome to protest that. And so as a result, then Caesar, instead of giving it to one of the sons, he split it up over the four sons. And so Kaufman said, these Israelites would be very familiar with this of sending a delegation to protest against someone being their king. Okay. And the Lord willing, we'll read that next week, what he wrote. And so verse 15. "And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, 'Master, your mina has earned 10 more minas.' And so then the nobleman said to this servant, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, the nobleman said to the second servant, you will also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you. Now, here is some harsh, false criticisms that this man gives to this nobleman. He feared him because, I know you are an austere or a severe man. You collect what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. So you, this is the false criticism and an explanation of why he did not want to do any work. You are going to reap the profits from my hard work, and so I'm not going to give it to you. So you collect what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. And so the nobleman said to this third servant, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You know, and now, this is a strong warning to all of us, to all of mankind, but we need to take a special, pay special attention to this so we don't fall into this category, definitely, because this is not good what happens to him. So, this nobleman said, you knew that I was an austere or a severe or a harsh man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Kaufman said that Jesus, in this parable, or this nobleman, humored this. Okay, let's just say that this is correct. You even knowing this, you still did not work. You should have worked a lot harder, knowing that I was going to be very harsh once I came back. But he said, now you're going to be judged out of your own mouth. You admitted that you refused to do any work in my kingdom that I gave you orders to do. And so you will be judged by your own statement here. Verse 23. Why then did you not put my money in the bank that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? So that's the least that he could have done and collected a little bit of interest if he didn't want to do any work. Put it in the bank and let the bank make the interest and add money to that. And they could have used it. But he didn't even do that. He did not want this man to make anything off of any of this money. He was just going to return it as it was given to him. Verse 24, and so this nobleman said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has already 10 minas. Why are you going to give him 11? And then the reply of the nobleman was, for I say to you that everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. So in the near term of when Jesus had this happen, when he was making this, it was the destruction of Jerusalem is what he was predicting here and referring to in the shorter term, and then in the longer term, was all of the disobedient servants and all of the unrighteous in eternal judgment and eternal punishment. So we will end there, and Lord willing, next week we'll start with reading Kaufman's commentary on this passage.